I want you to turn around to somebody close beside you, in front of you, behind you, and I want you to give them a great big wonderful smile, and I want you to say to them, I love you. I love you. I love you. Amen. I love you. This is how they will know you are his disciples, and that you have love one toward another. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise God. Praise God. I love you. I love you. I love you. My hope and desire tonight is that we come service tonight thirsty. I hope we come to the God's house tonight thirsty. Hungry. Jesus said, blessed are they that hunger and thirst, for they shall be filled. I need a word from the Lord tonight. I need an answer to the question tonight. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. God's word has an answer for us. I'm going to go to two places in the Bible. First, I'm going to direct you to the book of Colossians, the second chapter of the book of Colossians. Then we're going to go to John chapter 4. And Paul's writing to this church. Everyone say, this church. This church. Amen. These things are written for our admonition. And in chapter 2 of the book of Colossians, we're going to look at verse number 8 down to verse number 10. Colossians chapter 2 at verse 8, 9, and 10. Now, Paul gives us somewhat of a warning here. He says, beware, lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. Yeah. There's people out there got all kinds of tricks and gimmicks to get you. Amen. Speaking of Jesus Christ, verse number 9 says, for in him dwelleth some part all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. All of it. The Godhead. Father, Son, Holy Ghost.
Yes, sir.
It's all in him. And verse 10 says, and ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. Jesus is above all. He said, all power is given unto me in heaven and in the earth. There's nobody greater than Jesus. There's nobody more powerful than Jesus. He is the Almighty God. Amen. And what I love is, ye are complete in him. Now to the Gospel of St. John, the 4th chapter, beginning at verse number 1. It's a lot of scripture here. No, as a matter of fact, I'm not going to read all those scriptures. I'm just going to start right here. I'm going to start at verse number 25. John chapter 4, I'm going to start at verse 25 and go to verse 29. We'll go back to those scriptures when I begin to speak on it. John chapter 4, verse 25. The woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. And upon this came his disciples, and they marveled. They marveled that he talked with the woman. Yet no man said, what seekest thou? Or why talkest thou with her? The woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city and saith unto the men, come, see a man which told me all things ever I did. Is not this the Christ? You got to come and see this man. Because never a man spake like this man. You got to come to our church. Because you ain't never been to church till you've been to our church. Praise God. Oh, my. God, help me. I'm going to preach this message. I'm going to call this the seventh man. The seventh man. Father, we thank you for your eternal word that is already settled in heaven. God, right now, Lord, we pray that you would loose revelation into this building. Get people to understand and to see the truths. God, your word is a mirror. Help us to see ourselves and not walk away the same person that we were when we came in. But I pray now, God, that you will send your word, Lord, and it won't come back void. Save, convict, change, challenge. We pray in the mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And let your Holy Spirit flow in this place like we've never seen it before. This we ask in the name of Jesus, and everyone say amen. Amen. God bless you. Let's give the Lord another hand clap of praise, because he's worthy to be praised. He really is. God is worthy to be praised. Praise the Lord. God bless you this evening, and you may be seated. The Gospel of John in the fourth chapter tells a wonderful story about Jesus and the woman at the well. We're going to look at this. Amen, in detail, and we're going to start in chapter 4 at verse number 1. If you have your Bibles, follow along with me. If not, perhaps the scriptures can be portrayed on the screen. John chapter 4, beginning at verse 1, when therefore the Lord knew, he knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not, but his disciples. See, people was arguing about the baptism. Even way back then, he was having trouble with religious people talking about who baptized who and how it was done. They still doing that today. So Jesus, verse 3, he left Judea and he departed again unto Galilee. Now, in between Judea and Galilee was this area of the country called Samaria. Amen. Now, the Jews and the Samaritans did not get along. The Jews and the Gentiles did not get along. In that society, you belonged to one of those three groups. You were either a Jew or you were a Gentile. Someone asked me one time, said, Brother Easter, what qualifies a person to be a Gentile? That's very easy. If you are not a Jew, you're a Gentile. Plain and simple. And the Jews hated the Gentiles, and the Gentiles hated the Jews. But there was another group of people that mingled together. Jews got married to Gentiles. Gentiles got married to Jews. They were a mixed breed. and they were called Samaritans. And the Gentiles hated the Samaritans, and the Jews hated Samaritans, and everybody just hated everybody. It was just a whole lot of prejudice in those days, just like it is now. Man ain't changed. And the Jews, they hated the Samaritans so bad that rather to take the straight route to Judea, they would go around Samaria to get to where they want to go. One historian said they placed water pots along the route to wash their feet in case they got Samaritan dirt on their feet. That's pretty bad. And Jesus looked at his disciples. He said, we're going to go to Judea. And they were all prepared to go. And then the Lord said in verse 4, and he must needs go through Samaria. But Lord, you don't want to go to Samaria? I got to go to Samaria. But Lord, those people are unclean. I've got to go to Samaria. Man, I'm so glad Jesus is not hung up with the things that we get hung up with. He said, I've got to go. If you won't go, I'm going. If you don't reach him, I'm going to reach him. He'll go across the tracks. He'll go to the bad part of town. He'll reach those people that nobody else wants. He said, I've got to go. I must needs go to Samaria. Because Jesus knew something they didn't know. See, Jesus knew there was a woman. There was a woman. Hallelujah. And the Bible says he cometh, amen, to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. It was a historical marker. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, he set thus on the well. And notice, it was about the sixth hour. Now, that is very significant because the sixth hour is 12 noon. The sixth hour. Now, why is that written there? It's written there to help you understand that our God is an on-time God. At noon, Jesus was at the well because he's in the Samaritan desert. It is hot. I mean, blazing hot. 12 o'clock noon, that's the hottest time of the day. And Jesus made sure he was going to be at the well at 12 noon because he knew there was a woman that would come to the well. And she chose to come to the well at the hottest time of the day. Why? Because she did not think anyone in their right mind would be in out that heat. She didn't want to see nobody. She didn't want to talk to nobody. The well was the gathering place of all the ladies in the village. They would come out in the evening time. She didn't want to see no women. In fact, it would be safe to say she probably didn't have any girlfriends. Why is that? Because she had a reputation. Amen. She was the kind of woman that had a lot of men friends. And it's kind of strange. Most women that have a lot of men friends don't have a lot of women friends. Amen. And she didn't want to fellowship. So what happened? She went out to the well at the hottest time of the day. And to her surprise, she found a well sitting on the well. Amen. She was amazed. Number one, there's somebody there. Number two, she looked at him, and she recognized he's a Jew. I don't know how, maybe because of the way they wear their clothes or something. I don't know. But she saw right away, this man is a Jew in Samaria. She was puzzled. As she approached Jesus, he looked at her, and Jesus said, Excuse me, ma'am. Can I get a drink? Oh, she was doubly shocked. He spoke to me. He spoke to me. She looked at him. She said, wait a minute. How is it you being a Jew speaketh to me, a woman? Because men didn't supposed to speak to women in public. How is it you being a Jew speaketh to me, a woman of Samaria? How is that possible? That's not the way it's supposed to go. In other words, that's not politically correct. But I'm so glad Jesus is not politically correct. He don't care if you're male or female. He don't care if you're black, white, Latino. He don't care if you're Catholic, Methodist, Baptist, Pentecostal. He don't worry about none of that stuff. He'll come to you where your need is. He'll come to you because he loves you. He'll come to you because he's got something for you. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. She was amazed that this Jew would even speak to her in public. How is it thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which I'm a woman of Samaria? The Jews have no dealings with Samaritans. Didn't you get the memo? Jesus answered. He said to her, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, you know what you would do? Thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. Oh, my. Look at this. Look at that response. If thou knewest the gift of God. Listen, if you only knew the gift of God. You know, Pastor, that's the answer to the question. The answer to the question is, how come this church ain't filled up wall to wall, people standing outside? I'll tell you the answer. If they only knew the gift of God. Hallelujah. How is it that people can come in church and they don't respond? They don't do nothing. They just look around and they just don't get into it. Oh, if they only knew the gift of God. Oh, my Lord, if you only knew the peace, the joy, the excitement, the deliverance, the healing, the miracles that God, woo, hallelujah, has done in people's lives. Then you know why we clap our hands and why we shout and why we can't be quiet. God's been so good to us. As I look across this congregation, I see living, walking miracles. I see testimonies. If it had not been for the Lord, some of y'all be in jail right now. If it had not been for the Lord, some of y'all be in the hospital right now. If it had not been for Jesus, some of y'all be in the ground right now. But God, in his mercy, oh, that's why we make noise. That's why we get excited. That's why we like to shout. Because God been good to us. Oh. If you only knew. If you only knew. See, I didn't grow up in this. I didn't grow up in this. Amen. All of this used to be strange to me. I used to look at y'all and laugh at y'all. I said, man, I don't believe people act like that in church. I thought in church you're supposed to be real quiet. Shh. Don't say nothing. Shh. Quiet. Church be so quiet you can hear your hair growing. That's quiet. People nodding. Amen. That's not the way church is supposed to be. Church is fun. Church is exciting. Church is liberating. Church ain't nothing but a party, because we're getting ready to go to heaven and we're just rehearsing. We're just rehearsing. We're just getting in shape. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Church is the most fun place in town. Why? Because Jesus shows up. And when Jesus shows up, you ain't going to be going to sleep. When Jesus shows up, you're not going to be here and you're buying out there. When Jesus comes on the scene, that's going to be some action. That's going to be some drama. That's going to be some liveliness. That's going to be some praise and worship. There's going to be some noise. Amen. But I didn't know. Nobody told me. I used to be outside with my buddies looking through the windows at y'all. Come here, man. Come here. Look, you're not going to believe what these people doing. Look at that man running around the church. And ain't nobody chasing him. What in the world? Some guy jumps up, twirling around like a human helicopter. We just laughed, made fun of y'all. These holy rollers, these holy sanctified folk, look at them. They done lost their minds. If you only knew. Oh, hallelujah. Some folks come to church and they look around and say, I'll never do that. I'll never jump up and shout. I'll never run around a building. But when the Holy Ghost gets a hold of your life and turn you around, you'll be doing the same thing. You'll worship, you will praise. You'll be the worst of everybody in the crowd. If you only knew the gift of God. The gift of God is the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is what gives you power to be a witness. The Holy Ghost gives you power to tread on serpents. Hallelujah. The Holy Ghost gives you power to step on scorpions. My goodness. Scorpions. Serpents. What are you saying, Lord? The power of the scorpion is in his tail. The power of the serpent is in his head. God is saying, heads or tails, you win. Hallelujah. How many glad you got the Holy Ghost? How many glad you are in him? How many glad you got the victory? Oh, somebody ought to shout, yes. Oh, if you only knew. The gift of God and who it is that's in this room. He's here. He's in the building right now. How do you know, Brother Easter? Not only because I feel him here, but he promised us where two or three would gather in his name. He would be right in the midst. Jesus is in the building. Jesus, he really is here. He really is here. He really is here. Jesus, my goodness. Jesus is in the building. If you only knew. He said, you know what, lady? You would be asking of me instead of me asking you. And I won't go give you just some old stale water. Because see, if you look down in the well, that water is stale. It collects dirt, it collects bugs. But lady, the water I'll give you, it's living water. You ain't never had no water until you got the water that Jesus can give. You've never had your thirst quenched until you've tasted and see that the Lord is good. Somebody shout hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. That woman say, oh, sir, he done elevated. First, he was just a Jew. Verse 11, the woman saith unto him, sir. Now he's a sir. You don't have nothing to draw with. The well is deep. How are you going to get that living water? Because I want that living water. You talking about living water? I'm interested in that. Where's your bucket? You greater than our father Jacob? He gave us the well. He drank of this water himself, his children, and his cattle drank of this water. What are you talking about? Living water. Verse 13, Jesus said to her, he said, listen, whosoever drinketh of this water, you're going to thirst again. You keep on taking what the world offers you, you'll never be satisfied. The world can give you a temporary satisfaction. The world can help you get by just a little, but you're going to be right back in the dumps again. You're going to be right back in the barrel again. You will thirst again. You don't have to keep drinking the world's water. There is an alternative. You don't have to keep living the life you've been living. You don't have to keep struggling the way you've been struggling. You don't have to keep making the same mistakes over and over. There is another alternative. There is a better way. There is a better direction. There is a better life. Oh, hallelujah. There is an alternative. You don't have to stay where you are. Oh, hallelujah. Jesus looked at her. He said, ma'am, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him, you know, he have to come to the well because it's going to be in him. The water I give you is going to be in you. I'm not going to give you a cup. I'm not going to give you a gallon. I'm not going to give you a bucket. But it shall be a well of living water springing up into everlasting life. Wherever you go, you're going to have water. Whatever you do, you're going to have water. Whenever you need it, it's going to be in you. He's talking about the Holy Spirit. I don't want to just be blessed. I don't just want to have a good feeling. I don't want God to just touch me. Oh, he touched me. Oh, he touched me. I don't want to be just touched. I want to be filled. I want to be filled. I want to be overflowing in the Holy Ghost. Oh, when was the last time you went to the fountain and took a drink? Glory to God. He said, if you're thirsty, you shall be filled. Amen. Every child of God need to be filled with the Holy Ghost. And not just one time. It shall be in you. A river of living water flowing up out of you, springing up out of you. You ought to have the Holy Ghost. Be filled with the Holy Ghost. Paul said, be filled with the Holy Ghost. Springing up out of you. That means when you come to church, water splashing everywhere. That's why when I go to a church service, I'm careful who I sit beside. I don't want to sit beside no dry person. Don't sit beside nobody looking all depressed and down in the dump. And I came to church today and the devil been busy. Don't sit me next to that person. Sit me next to somebody that got something inside of them. Somebody that's a bubbling. Sit me next to somebody that's clapping their hands and praising the Lord. Because what they got might jump on me. I say what they got might jump on me. Because if you don't have the Holy Ghost, I'm going to warn you, this thing is contagious. You're liable to catch it. Amen. I was sitting there thinking about God and how wonderful he is and how he fills us to overflowing. And it reminded me, the devil is an imitator. He's not creative at all. He can't create nothing. All he can try to do is copy what God has done. And so the devil got his own church for those people out there. It's called the bar. That's their church. And they have happy hour. And those folks go to their church. You know who their bartender is? Their bartender is their pastor. And they come into their church all weary and all frustrated. And they go up to the bartender, "Can you give me something that can take the edge off? Can you give me something that'll help me forget about my problems?" And the bartender pastor said, "Why, certainly." And behind him on a wall is a massive display of all kinds of spirits. Pick which one you want. It'll help you forget your problems. It'll help you come out of your comfort zone. Just take any one of these spirits that you want. And people come to the bar and they belly up and they say, "Fill me up." Amen. That's their church. And when I got to examine it a little bit closer, something interesting began to come to me. I began to notice the same types of people that go to the bar are the same types of people that come to the church. Yeah. And what I saw was, in the bar, you got some folks, they'll walk in the bar, they'll take a seat, and they'll look at the bartender, their pastor, and they say, "Listen, man, I don't want to get smashed. I just need a little something, something. You know, all I want is a buzz." He fix you right up. "Here, drink this." "Okay, that's good. I'm done." And I'm thinking, sometimes there's people like that come to church. They come in the house of the Lord, and they say, "You know, I don't want to get crazy tonight. you know, I don't want to mess up my suit. I don't want to mess up my hair. I don't want to walk all over the place looking like a complete idiot. But I do want a blessing. I want just a little. So, Lord, just give me a little blessing. Just enough to get the edge off, and I'll be satisfied." And some people are satisfied. They just come to church and, "Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord." And they get a little blessing. "That's good. That's good enough for me. I'm ready to go home." That's all they want. Then you got the other person coming to bar. This person coming to bar, they only drink when there's people around them. They don't drink at home. They don't drink on the job. They drink only when people are around them. They call themselves social drinkers. Sometimes we got people coming to church. They're social drinkers. They don't drink at home. They don't pray at home. They don't worship at home. The only time they lift their hands and talk to God is when people are looking at them. Had one eye closed, one eye open, looking around. Social drinkers. Amen. Then you got that person that come in the bar. They walk in drunk. Was drunk before they got there. They were drunk at home, and they were drunk on the way. And when they got to the bar, they ain't feel no pain. And they said, "Fill my cup and fill it up, because I want to get drunk some more." Oh, Lord, thank God for those kind of people that come to church. They already come in with a dance. They already come in with a hand clap. They've been praising God in the car before they got in the building. They worship God at home. They're apostolic holics. Hallelujah. Oh, God, give us some drunk people in the Holy Ghost. Anybody want to get drunk tonight? Anybody want to get filled tonight? Anybody want to have a Holy Ghost time tonight? Hallelujah. Somebody say, fill me up, Lord. Praise God. Oh, you better be careful. I feel something getting stirred up in here. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I feel it getting stirred up in here. He said, I'm going to give you living water, and you'll never thirst again. Amen. She was like, she said, oh my goodness. Verse number 15, the woman said, sir, give me. I want this water. You telling me I'm not going to thirst again? I want this water. You telling me my life is going to be better? I want this water. Amen. Jesus answered and said to her, go call your husband and come back. See, before you can get the water, you got to deal with some issues. Because you got some issues in your life. You got some situations in your life you need to deal with. There might be some sin in your life. You need to get that checked out before you can drink of this water. Jesus said, you want this water? I want this water. I never thirst again. I want this water. Okay, then, go get your husband and come back here. Now, she being a woman, and I tell you what, I didn't see no pictures of her, but she was a good-looking something. Brother Easter, how you know she was all that good-looking? She had no problem with men. Amen. All kinds of men would give her attention. And you could tell she had something in her. She had something she was trying to feel. There's an emptiness inside. And she thought, if I just had a man, I could really be fulfilled if I just had that special person. And sometimes people, sometimes it's entertainment, sometimes it's sports, sometimes it's a mate, but people looking everywhere else to feel that one thing. If I just had the right man, I could be happy. If I just had the right person in my life. And so men would approach her, giving her all kinds of promises. They knew how to sweet talk her. She heard every line in the book. Boy, when I was out there in the world, I had me some girlfriends. Man, I was a sharp little brother. I used to walk around like this. One time I was walking down the street, a guy hollered out the window, hey man, your leg broke. I used to walk around like this, boy. And I see a nice little young lady, and I look at her and go, yo, mama. Girl, you must be a library book, because I want to check you out. I had all kinds of cute little sayings. I was smooth, man. You think you smooth, I was smooth, brother. I wrote the book. And when you in the nightclub, you know, and the girls, you don't know nothing about these girls be so fake. They be putting on like they got it all together. And everybody's playing. Everybody's an actor in the nightclub scene. And when the guy want to know if the girl has a boyfriend or a husband or something, you know, he'll look at the girl and go, girl, I can't believe your old man let you get out by yourself like this. And she would say, I don't have an old man. That's how you know. That's a slick way of doing it. So Jesus looked at this woman. He said, go get your husband. And she said, I ain't got no husband. Jesus said, you know what? You told the truth. You have 5 husbands. And the man you shacking up with now, he ain't yours. Oh, my goodness. She was like, who? He knows everything about me. In the next verse, the woman said to her, sir, I perceive thou art a... Wow, he done went up again. The longer you stay with Jesus, the more revelation you're going to get. He went from a Jew to a sir. Now he's a prophet. My goodness. You know everything about me. Oh, you're a prophet. Oh, you're religious. And all of a sudden, she gets religious. And that's how some people are, you know. Once they find out you in church, all of a sudden, they all in church. Had a guy do me one time. He was trying to sell me a car. And I was looking at the car. He said, hey, man, that car right there belongs to you. That's your car. You look like that car. You fit that car. Come on, let's take it for a drive. I'm like, okay. Gave me the key. He said, come on, put it on the interstate, man. Put some gas to it. He said, oh, man, you in this car? Bro, you're going to be pulling all the women. And he said, and it got an awesome radio in here, man. Look at the sound system. Boom, 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 boom. And he rapping and all that stuff. Boom, 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 boom. And then he started cussing and everything, you know. Man, you know, oh, man, you know. And he said, hey, bro, what you do, man? Where you work at? I said, I'm a preacher. Oh. Put it on a gospel station. My grandma was a preacher. Hallelujah. People can be so fake. Yes, sir. All of a sudden, now all of a sudden she gets religious. Yeah. You know what? Our fathers worship in this mountain. And you people say Jerusalem is the place where you ought to worship. Amen. I go down here to First Church. And y'all go over here to that church. Jesus didn't have nothing to say about all that stuff. He said, woman, let me tell you something. Verse 21, the hour cometh when neither in this mountain nor in Jerusalem shall you worship the Father. See, lady, you worship what you know not. You don't know what you worship. And there's people right now, they don't know what they worship. You got some people worshiping Jehovah. Other people worshiping Allah. Other people worshiping Confucius. Joseph Smith, all these people, they don't know what they worship. But we know. But we know. I said we know what we worship. We know who we worship. What's his name? What's his name? The Bible says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Verse 23, the hour is coming and the now is. The true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in the truth. For the Father is looking, he is seeking such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must. Doesn't matter how your work went today, must. Don't matter who talked about you today, must. Don't matter how you feel in your body, must. If you come to God, you got to come God's way. Ye must worship him in spirit and in the truth. If God wants it that way, that's how I'm going to give it to him. Hallelujah. Praise God. Oh, hallelujah. The woman, she's still in Guinness. She said, the Messiah's coming. We believe in the Messiah. When he gets here, he's going to tell us everything we need to know. She didn't have a clue who she was talking to. I'm waiting for God to move. I'm waiting for the Lord to talk to me. That's what he been doing the whole fat last 20 minutes. He that has an ear, don't let him hear what Brother Easter's saying. Let him hear what the Spirit is saying. The Holy Ghost is talking to you, lady. The Holy Ghost is talking to you, sir. Don't look at me. Look at God. God is trying to reach you. God is trying to pull on you. God is trying to save you. He said, the one that you're looking for, I am he. I'm right here in front of you. And I got a news flash for somebody here tonight. He's here right now. What you've been thirsting for is here right now. What you've been praying about is here right now. I dare to say there's not one single person in this room that is here just because you wanted to come. You are here because God ordained you to be here. He directed your steps. Hallelujah. I would even say you couldn't be anyplace else tonight but here. Because God did it. God set you up. God set you up. Hallelujah. He made it possible. Everything you need, all you've been searching for, is right here. The Spirit is here. The name is here. The doctrine is here. The plan of salvation is here. Hallelujah. Man, she looked at him. She got all excited. Oh my. I gotta tell somebody. I gotta tell somebody. She put down the pot and I like that. She put down the pot.
Yeah, that's good.
I did too. And the alcohol and all the other drugs. I put it all down. Because when you come in contact with Jesus, he will change your life. Hallelujah. All things will pass away. Everything become new. Amen. Somebody say, put it down. Oh, she put down that burden. She ain't had to carry it no more. Thank God. She ain't had to have that heavy burden on her shoulders any longer. And she went running to the city. And she went to all the men. She ran to the men. She ain't no problem talking to men. She said to the men, y'all need to come and see this man. His name is the Christ. He's the one we've been praying about. He's the one we've been looking for. He is here. Hallelujah. Her life was changed. She had found what she'd been looking for. Amen. Now the scripture says in the book of Colossians, and I'm closing with this, musicians, would you come? In the book of Colossians, we read earlier, and ye are complete in him. He's all you need. He's all you need. But you just can't be in the same room with him. You've got to be in him. And him in you. That's his plan. Hallelujah. She looked everywhere, searched everywhere, tried to find the answer, couldn't find it. The first man came along, gave her all these promises, failed. They got divorced. She got married again. Second guy said, girl, I'll give you the world. She believed him. Failed. Divorced. Maybe the next one. Three times. Four times. Five husbands. Then she said, you know what? Forget this. The next one came along. I ain't gonna get married to you. That was number six. But when she came to the seventh man, and the number seven is the number of completion. And the Bible says you're never going to be complete until you are complete in him. Hallelujah. She found her answer. She found her peace. She found her living water. And it's no less for anybody else in this room. God wants you to have that living water. He wants you to be filled to overflowing, a well springing up, joy springing up, life springing up. The God of all creation wants to take residence inside of you and fill you with his Spirit. Jesus said, I pray the Father to send you another comforter. I've come to comfort you, but I've got to go. I've got to go. Lord, don't leave us. It is good for me to go so the comforter can come. But we can't make it without you. I can't be with you in human flesh till the end of the world. So my Father's going to send me in another version. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come unto you. The Comforter is coming. And when he comes, he's coming in my name. The Holy Spirit. The Holy Ghost. And that's why Jesus had to leave. He had to leave. You know what a ghost is? Webster Dictionary describes a ghost as the spirit of a departed person. And Jesus is the express image of God's person. What you see of God is what you see of Jesus. He said, he that have seen me have seen the Father. But the person had to depart so that the Spirit will come. And the Spirit will be with you till the end of the age. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God. Let's all stand tonight. Praise the Lord. Now, tonight I'm going to end this service. Oh, I love this. I'm going to end this service the way Jesus ended his. Would that be all right? I'm going to end this service the way Jesus ended one of his. And this is how he did it. It was in John chapter 7. Jesus was speaking to the multitudes, and he had been ministering to them for a while, and he was coming to the end. And at the end of his delivery, he said to the crowd that was present, this is what he said. If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink, and out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Amen. This spake he of the Holy Ghost, which was not yet given, because he had not yet been glorified. And so tonight, as Jesus, as my example, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to give the same invitation. If anyone in this sanctuary thirst, come and gather at the front of these steps and around the pulpit, all in this area here, if you're thirsty. Only those that are thirsty. If you're satisfied, stay where you are. Now notice, I didn't say if you go to church or not go to church, or how long you've been saved, or whether you had the Holy Ghost before. I just said, if you're thirsty. That's the only prerequisite. All that are thirsty and you want more, would you come and stand? Remain standing. If anyone thirst, let him come. Let him come. Move up closer, please. Move up closer. Come closer. Now, I don't want you to begin to pray just yet, because I want to give you some, what I believe will be some helpful instructions as to drinking this living water. We're gathering in. We're still coming. We're still coming. If you're thirsty, come. One thing about being filled with the Holy Spirit of God is you got to want it. You got to want it. The Lord is not going to make you receive it, and we're not going to try to trick you into getting it. You got to want it. And that's what he means by thirst. If you're thirsty. Hallelujah. If anyone thirst, let them come. Don't stand in their way. If they're in the middle of the aisle, move out of the way. Let them come. If somebody's in your way, say, excuse me. Excuse me. I'm going to get me some water tonight. Hallelujah. And then the Lord said, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. Right? Right? Amen. Now, I want you to bring that down just a little bit because I want y'all to get this. Drink. 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 Can I ask you a question? Have you ever seen anyone drink water with their mouths shut?
No.
No. No. You can't drink with your mouth shut. And there are folks that have come up and said, I want to be filled with the Holy Spirit. I want God's Spirit. And they won't open their mouths. You can't drink with your mouth closed. Right. So what do you do? You got to participate with this. You got to cooperate with the Holy Ghost. You open your mouth and you fill it with praise. Praise. Amen. Praise ye the Lord. Praise. Audible, vocal expression of love to God. And you know, there's some people that are so conditioned to be very quiet, they never open their mouths. They just like, God loves praise. He loves it. All through the book of Psalms, praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. And praise is vocal. And it is loud. Not necessarily screaming and hollering, but it's vocal enough where you can at least hear yourself. And why do we have to do that? Well, number one, God instructs us to. Number two, the Bible says His Spirit inhabits the praises of His people. So if that's true, that means the more praise we send up to God, the more of His Spirit comes down. Yeah, that's the way it works. The more praise you send up, the more Spirit fills you up. And when you just start praising God and forget about who's around you, forget about who's there, focus on Him and send Him praise. Because can't nobody praise Him like you. Can't nobody even say His name the way you say it. And He's listening. He said, I want to hear you say it. I want to hear you say it. And when you say, Lord, I love you. Lord, I praise you, God. You're wonderful, Lord. Oh, God, you're awesome. God draws closer and closer. And when the praise, the songwriter say, when the praises go up, the glory comes down. Amen. So what happens in the spirit is that you're beginning to be filled. And this is how it looks. Hallelujah. I praise you. I love you, Lord. Oh, Jesus, you're awesome. And it keeps feeling you, feeling you, feeling. And then when it gets up here, Jesus said, then it shall be in you a river springing out. Yes. That water's going to come out. Yes. And when that water comes out, it's going to come out in another language. Another tongue. The Bible says, for they heard them speak in tongues. Yes. Now, a lot of people are mystified by it. And they're not, but it's the Bible. Jesus said, this sign shall follow all that believe. They shall speak in new tongues. And so, if this in the Bible, I want it. Amen. So, people get nervous. They get scared. Well, what's going to happen? Is something going to take over? You know. And folks say, I got the Holy Ghost. How you know you got the Holy Ghost? I fell out. No, that's not how you get the Holy Ghost. I got the Holy Ghost. How you know you got the Holy Ghost? People looked at me and said I was glowing. No, no, no. The Bible. Everyone say the Bible.
The Bible.
The Bible teaches us that when you're filled with the Holy Ghost, the evidence is you speaking in another language. It's a holy language, a spiritual language, a language you don't understand. See, you got to participate with that. And you got to have faith. Now, I'm going to demonstrate for you, show you how easy it is. It's all about yielding your tongue to the Spirit. Yielding your tongue. Now watch this. I'm going to speak in tongues. In fact, no, wait a minute. I'm speaking in tongues right now. Anybody know what tongue I'm in?
English.
There you go. I'm speaking in tongues right now. It's English. Tongues is language. Now, I'm going to speak in another tongue. Is nobody going to knock me in the head? Nobody going to make me. I'm going to yield my tongue to speak in another tongue. I'm going to speak German. Gazula. Volkswagen. Frankfurter. Hamburger. I'm getting hungry, man. That's German. And you know something? You can't speak two languages at the same time. So you must choose to yield your language so the other one can be spoken. And as we pray and worship, and as we lose ourselves in him, and he's beginning to feel us. And I'm telling you, it don't matter how it feels. We don't go by feeling. We go by faith. It's happening whether you feel it or not. And when you're at that place in your faith, whether you feel it, you just said, okay, Lord, I believe it's happening right now. You yield your tongue. You let it go. And the Spirit will produce the utterances and the sounds. You will speak sounds you don't even know what you're saying. And as you speak your sound, your mind is going to jump up and say, what are you doing? What are you doing? That don't make sense. Don't think. Don't think. Keep your mind on Jesus and let those sounds flow to him. Because now you're speaking in a spiritual tongue. A language you don't understand, but is communicating with God's spirit. And you hear yourself, you will be speaking in another tongue. Amen? And so, it's here. It's already here. We don't have to tarry. It's already in the atmosphere. All we need to do is drink it. Amen? We will bow our heads for a moment. If there's any sin in your life, anything you didn't get a chance to talk to God about, we're going to do it just for a moment right now. Lord, God, we are imperfect, and we confess we are all sinners. We all fall short of the mark. God, we're so desperately in need of you, Lord, and we ask for your forgiveness. God, things I've said, things I've done, I'm sorry, Lord. Even things I've thought, Lord, God, I know it's wrong, and I come to you tonight, and I ask for your forgiveness. God, I don't want to keep living the way I've been living. I don't want to keep being the way I've been being, Lord. I just come before you, Lord God, because you promised us, Lord, if we ask, you would forgive. And Father, tonight we're asking, forgive us, Lord. Forgive me, Lord. I'm sorry. In Jesus' name. God has forgiven you. Isn't that awesome? Give the Lord a hand clap. God has forgiven you. He wants to forgive you. All he's been waiting for is that you ask. And now you're forgiven. Yay! Isn't that wonderful?
Yeah.
Are you still thirsty? You still thirsty? Now that we've been forgiven, the Lord is even closer. And what we're going to do is the music going to play. I'm going to ask that you raise your hand. He said, why raising the hands? It's a sign of total surrender. I'm not going to resist you, Lord. I want you to have your way. You don't have to keep your hands up the whole time, but you're surrendering right now. And then I'm going to ask that you close your eyes, and I want you to get a picture of Jesus in your mind. I want you to see him. He could have his hands outstretched. He could be on the throne. However you see him, I want you to picture him. He's getting ready to pour his spirit on you. I'm going to pray the prayer of faith. And when I do, I want everyone to open your mouth and everybody begin to praise the Lord in your language. It won't be long after that. You're going to feel the Spirit moving. People around you are going to be speaking in tongues. I want you to just let God have his way. Loose your tongue and let that new language flow out of your innermost being. Musicians, are you ready? Are you ready to play? Are you ready to sing? by the power of the name of Jesus and by the authority of the Holy Ghost, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Receive the Holy Ghost. I decree you receive it right now.